Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachiyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcher, and today we'll be studying Sefer Koheles, Perek Beis, Chapter 2. In the previous Perek, Shlomo HaMelech looked at Chochmah, at wisdom, to investigate whether there's value in pursuing wisdom in the quest for a meaningful life. But he found that with increased wisdom comes greater understanding of the futility and of the challenges in this world, and it doesn't indeed lead to satisfaction or happiness. In this perek, he's going to experiment with other lifestyle choices to see if they can bring a person lasting satisfaction. In Psukim Aleph and Beis, the first two Psukim, he experiments with pleasure. Anascha, besimcha, or re'e betoiv, I will experiment with joy and enjoy pleasure. The Mefarshim tell us that this is specifically referring to pleasure that comes from feasting, mishteh, fine foods, and wine. Anascha, which can be translated as I will experiment from the Shorash of Nisayon, can also be understood from the Shorash of Nasach, to pour wine. So it's specifically drinking wine, drowning my sorrows in alcohol. The Al-Sheikh says that this is focusing on the good feeling that comes from pleasure, rather than intrinsic joy that comes from actual happiness. Happiness has to come from something intrinsic, and food and wine, that's just extrinsic pleasure, not real happiness. So his conclusion is, V'hine gam zu havel, I see that this too is futility. L'schoik, of laughter, I said, Amarti, I said, Mahilal, it's mad. Or l'simcha, and of joy, I said, Ma zoi ose, what does it accomplish? What does it do? The Sforna says that worldly pleasure isn't a goal in and of itself. It doesn't lead to any worthwhile outcomes. It doesn't lead to any important results or anything meaningful. It's just pleasure that one experiences and then it's gone. It's havel, like that breath. And our senses gradually get dulled to pleasure over time. We need to keep on upping the ante. We need better steaks, better chocolate, better wine, because our senses get dulled and we no longer experience the same joy from today's pleasure that we did from yesterday's pleasure. So this doesn't work. Gam zu havel. So in his next quest, he looks to possessions to see if they can bring him meaning and if they can bring him happiness. And in Psukim Dalet through to Yod Aleph, 4 through 11, he describes how he amassed enormous amounts of possessions in his search for happiness. So Higdalti Ma'asai, I acted in grand style. Bonisili Botim, I built houses. Natatali Kromim, I planted vineyards. Osisili Ganois, I made gardens or parrot for myself, or paradesim and orchards. Venotati bohem eats called pri, and I planted every kind of tree in them. Rashi describes how he even had to bring in special water from India to irrigate these special trees. Or Sicily brechos mayim, I had special irrigation pools to water these trees. In Pasuk Zayin, konisi avodim or shvachos, I had many servants, many maidservants, lots of cattle. Pasuk Ches, kesev, zov, gold, silver. And we know this to be consistent with the description of Shlomo HaMelech's possessions in Sefer Melachim, in the Book of Kings, and the Queen of Sheba's incredulous response at seeing his palaces and servants and maidservants and gold and silver and everything that he had acquired and his incredible, incredible wealth. The Ta'alumos Chochma says this is a bit like the doormat story, that you buy one thing and then you need to buy the next thing and the next thing. But one thing leads to another and you can't stop. And physical possessions don't bring satisfaction. And the more you have, the more you want and the more you need to acquire. Rabbi Sacks focuses on the emphasis on first person in these psukim. Osisi li ganois, I made for myself gardens. Osisi li brechos mayim, bonisi li botim, I built for myself. There's a lot of emphasis on me doing things for myself. And this is why amassing possessions fails in bring us happiness, because if we're focused on ourselves, it locks us into ourselves and our narrow world, which is very constricting and it doesn't bring to happiness. But what was the result in Pasuk Yud? I didn't hold back from a single thing. I didn't hold back my heart from any kind of pleasure, from any kind of joy. Firstly, because this is an experiment and he's trying to see if it's going to bring him happiness. So he has to experiment by going to the extreme. And also because he's the king. So he has the wherewithal and resources to experiment like nobody else does. And the result in Pasuk Yod, the Pasuk continues, Ki libi sameach mikol amali. And indeed, my heart drew joy from all these activities. I was happy, I was content. However, says Rashi and Ibn Ezra, that was all he got. Yes, we do get pleasure from indulging in the physical world, and that's a reality. And that's why Chazal tell us that for Yom Tov, Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar V'Yayin, we have to have meat and we have to have wine, and women should get new clothing because it does bring us happiness. We get pleasure from physical things. However, it's not a pleasure that lasts. It lasts as long as it's there until you're onto the next thing. But as soon as it's gone, the pleasure doesn't remain. It's not satisfying in the long run. So in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he concludes, Uponisi ani b'chol ma'asai she'asu yadai, and I looked at everything I had done, over amal she'amalti la'asois, and all the hard work I had expended, v'hinei hakol hevel ro'os ruach, and everything is futile, and everything is frustrating, v'ein yisron tachas ha'shemesh, and there's nothing to be gained, no real profit under the sun. So then in Psukim 12 to 14, he goes on to investigate whether wisdom will bring meaning, whether wisdom will bring him satisfaction. And Rashi tells us that this is specifically referring to wisdom of Torah over here. And he finds that there are advantages to having wisdom. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ra'isi ani, I saw she'yesh yisrei nechachma min hasichlus. I see there are advantages in having wisdom of Torah over folly. Ki yisrein ha'or min ha'choshech, like advantages of light over darkness. The difference between wisdom and foolishness is like the difference between light and dark, he says. Says Ibn Ezra, it's like being able to do things in the light as opposed to doing things in the darkness when you don't know what you're doing. He behaves with Chacham behaves with a vision, with clarity, with perspective that you get from light. In Pasuk Yedalad, Hechacham Einav Baroshoi, his eyes are on his head, which means that he can see ahead, he plans ahead, according to Rashi. Ibn Ezra says he uses his eyes to guide him and to move to his destination purposefully. He has a plan. He doesn't just grope around in the darkness like the fool. Haksil b'choshech hoylech. A fool doesn't move with purpose. He just gropes around in the darkness. So there are advantages in Torah wisdom over folly. However, he gets despondent in Pasuk 15. V'amarti ani b'livi. However, I said in my heart, Shem mikre echad yikre es kulam. However, they're all going to come to the same fate. The wise person, the Torah person, the foolish person, everybody's going to end up the same way. Everybody's going to end up dying. So what's the point in all of this? And we're also sometimes in danger in thinking this way, right? Does what we do really matter? At the end of the day, everybody's going to die in the exact same way. However, he answers his own question and he says, at the end of Pasuk Tesvav, Shegam Zeh Hevel, in this instance, he's saying that my question is futile, my question is stupid, because as he continues to say in Pasuk Tes Zayin, Ki ein zichron nachacham im hakasil, because the chacham, the wise person, the righteous person who acts with Torah wisdom, he's not remembered in the same way as the foolish person. They don't come to the exact same end, even if everybody dies. How can you compare the legacy of a tzaddik with the legacy of a rasha? And as Rashi says, quoting the Medrash, we remember the deeds of Avram. We remember the deeds of Avram all the time. Nobody ever says, remember the deeds of Nimrod. A tzaddik has a legacy that lasts forever. So yes, we may all come to the same fate, but a tzaddik leaves something behind. And therefore, the chachma of Torah is worthwhile. But this only really leads to another frustration. In Psukim Yud Zayin to Kaf Gimel, and this is the frustration that you work so hard in life to achieve and you can accomplish, but then you leave it all to an heir after you who takes over everything and who knows what he's going to do with it. And because we've just established that there is merit to being a chacham over being a foolish person, you have no guarantee that the person who succeeds you, that your child, that your heir who takes over after you, is going to be like that chacham. Maybe he will be a fool and you're leaving everything to a fool. So in Pasuk Yitches, he says, V'sonesi ani eskol amalisha ani omel tachas ha'shemesh. I hate all the work that I do under the sun. She'ani chena la'odom she'yeh acharai, that I'm going to leave it to the person who comes after me. Pasuk Yitches, mi odeh ha'chacham yeh, oisachol. Who knows if he's going to be foolish or if he's going to be wise. V'yishlat b'chol amali. And he's going to control everything that I have done, everything that I've accomplished, everything that I've achieved in my life. And this is potentially referring to Shlomo HaMelech's own life, because whilst he worked hard to build up a unified kingdom, a prosperous kingdom, a peaceful kingdom, his son Rehoboam took over and the kingdom split because of Rehoboam's bad decisions at the time. Obviously, it was the will of Hashem, but Rehoboam made some bad decisions which caused the kingdom to split and undid everything that Shlomo HaMelech had done. So there's this frustrating feeling in working so hard to build so much up, to leave it to somebody who's just going to destroy everything that you've done. And this leads Koheles to incredible frustration. V'saboisi ani liya'esh es libi. And I turned my heart to despair of everything that I had done. Al kol ha'amosha amalti tachas ha'shemesh. Of everything that I've achieved by laboring under the sun. I feel such despair. And he describes in Pasuk Kaf Gimel how kichol yomov machovim v'kas in yonoi. All his days are painful. Gam balayla lo shachav liboi. Even at night, you don't sleep peacefully because you're thinking about your work and you're working so hard, and then you leave it all to somebody after you who just destroys it. Gam zeh hevelhu. This too is futility. And this reminds me very much of the vort of the Kotzke Rebbe, who used to ask, who is the final child? Meaning, we work so hard, and when you ask somebody, why are you working so hard? Why are you spending so many hours at the office? What for? He'll say, it's for my children. I'm doing this for my children because I want to give them a better future. And if you then go and ask their children, they'll say, I'm doing this too for my children to give them a better future. And I'm doing this too. And every child says, in every generation, we say, I'm doing this for my children to give them a good future. Ask the Kotzke Rebbe, who is that final child for whom everybody is investing? For whom is this all worthwhile? Who's actually going to do something meaningful, not just to leave it for their children? Which is why Koheles ends the chapter by in Pasuk 24 saying, "Ein tov ba'adam sheyochal v'shasa v'hera es nafshoi tov ba'amaloi." Isn't it just good for a man that he should rather eat and drink and show his soul satisfaction in his labor? And Rashi, quoting the Medrash, says that any time we have the terms eating and drinking in the book of Koheles, it refers to doing mitzvahs, to keeping the Torah and to doing mitzvahs. So isn't it just better that instead of working and saving to leave everything for your heir, which is a very risky proposition as Shlomo HaMelech's own life demonstrated, maybe rather use your material possessions to do tzedakah and chesed instead of just working to leave them for someone else. And in this way, v'hera'ah es nafsho tov ba'amaloi, as the Metzudah says, this way you gain satisfaction for your soul. Hashem gave us possessions to help other people, as it says in the end of the pasuk, Gam zoi ro'isi oni kimiyah te'eloi kimhi. I was given these possessions from Hashem so that I could help other people, not just to hoard them, not just to pass them on. And in this way, my material possessions are not futile. There was a story of a man in London whose name was Rabbi Bensi Dunner. He passed away around 15 years ago in a terrible car accident on Motzi Purim. And that Purim, he had given away millions of pounds to tzedakah. And what was so incredible about him, and the non-Jewish newspapers even wrote it up about him after he passed away, was that when people said to him, like, how can you give so much money? How can you give so much away of your own possessions? He said, I'm like God's postman. That's British for mailman. I'm just the delivery guy. Hashem gave me money. It's for me to give to other people. It's not to keep for myself. I'm just the delivery guy of God's money. Kimiyad Elokimhi. It's from the hand of Hashem for me to give to others. And in this way, in Pasuk Havhei, Ki mi yochal o mi yochush chutz mimeni. Who should eat except for me? I'm the one who's going to benefit. I'm directly going to benefit from these mitzvahs that I do with my possessions. This is ultimately what I'm going to take with me. And there's a beautiful Rabbeinu Bachya that talks about a custom in his days of people to make a coffin that they were buried in out of their own dining room table. They were buried in a coffin made from their dining room table to say, this is what I'm taking with me. It's the people I hosted. It's the people I cared for. It's the people I did chesed to. This is what is accompanying me after 120. So, doing kindness and goodness, that's a suggestion for a meaningful life. So to summarize this chapter, Koheles investigates three things to see if they can bring a person lasting happiness and meaning. He investigates pleasure, he investigates material possessions, and he investigates Torah wisdom. And pursuing pleasure, he finds, doesn't lead to anything worthwhile. The good feeling doesn't last, and our senses get dulled to pleasure over time. The accumulation of physical possessions also doesn't bring satisfaction. It's nice while it lasts, but it's all hevel. It's like a fleeting breath until you're on to the next thing. However, a person who lives with Torah wisdom can leave a legacy by acting in a way that demonstrates understanding of the future. And even though they might have a child that destroys everything they built with their wisdom, it's not about what you leave, but it's what you become in your life through your actions. In this chapter, primarily discussing the way you do tzedakah and chesed with your physical possessions, and that's what you take with you, and that's what's worthwhile. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmas, Rose Forman, Rachel Rachel Bas Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.